Good morning and happy Father's Day to those fathers that are among us. A little boy was once asked, what is Father's Day? And he said, well, it's kind of like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the gift. And somebody just said, what gift? Someone made a list of famous quotes that were attributed to dads. We all know this one. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Another one, how would I know? Ask your mother. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. And when they didn't get a response, they said, in the snow. When it still didn't get a response, they said, in mid-July. They wanted to emphasize the fact that they had it hard when they were growing up. To the child who says, I don't want to go, Dad, he says, you are going to go, and you will have fun. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? Some dads like to ask. Sister Brock will understand this one. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. It's an inside joke. Quit playing with your food. When they ask why, dads famously say, because I said so. And then just wait till you have kids of your own. There's another list entitled Father's Wisdom, and a lot of these are actually rooted in Scripture. Treat every day like it's the start of the rest of your life, some dads have said, because it is. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Dads have been known to say, just because you have it, you don't have to spend it. Don't wish your life away. A dad once said, learn what I'm showing you. I'm not a seed you can replant to show you again. And that's rooted in Proverbs 4, 10 through 13. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Dads sometimes say, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth so you can listen twice as much as you talk. That's James 1, 19. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. A father once said, you can't reason with an unreasonable person. I like the way Brother Frank Huber used to say it. He said, it takes 2 to have an argument, and I'm not going to participate. Back in the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 24, actually it would be chapter 26, in verse 4, Solomon said, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. In other words, if you began to say the things that he says, then you're going to be considered a fool. But then he also says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. He's saying, correct him, don't be like him. There are a lot of fathers and children who, thinking about what their fathers had told them, could probably add a lot of things to this list, and we won't go any further with that. But being a parent and a father can be an interesting and it can be a trying experience, but it can also be one of the most rewarding and wonderful experiences that is even possible. Someone once said, parents spend the first part of a child's life urging him to walk and talk, and the rest of his childhood telling him to sit down and to be quiet. What is our direction of study this morning? Here's what our goal is. Our goal this morning, according to the scripture reading that we enjoyed a moment ago, is to worship God, our spiritual father, and to honor our earthly fathers at his direction, because that's what the Bible says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. There are 3 things for which we should say thank you to our fathers. We need to thank them for our material provision, for faithful instruction, and for godly illustration of how a man would follow Christ. We need to remember that no dad is perfect. No matter how perfect we think either one of our parents were, no one is truly perfect. But good fathers do the best they can with what they have. We need to thank them for material provision. Fathers have a moral responsibility to provide for the children that they bring into this world and for their wives as well. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What is an infidel? It literally means an unbeliever. Well, that's a very powerful statement. How would such a father be worse than unbelievers? Answer is very simple. The unbeliever makes no pretense in believing in the moral and ethical codes of Christianity, so it's not a big surprise when he abandons his family. But on the other hand, the Christian, by abandoning his God-given responsibility to his family, is not only a careless and selfish and wicked man, he is also a hypocrite for denying in action the faith that he claims with his words. That is why he's worse than an unbeliever. So when we see fathers that are standing up for what is right and that are standing up for their families and making the sacrifices that are necessary to care for their families, we need to be truly thankful for them. And I hope that most of us can be able to say in some way that our fathers have been that kind of person, that they have been a worthy role model for us. Maybe some of you can relate to growing up and not having all the luxuries of life. Maybe there was only one car for the family to use, and every member of the family had to use it. Maybe you lived in a really small wood frame house with only one bathroom or no bathroom at all. I know that some of us here remember those kinds of days. Maybe you had to raise your own food in a backyard garden, and maybe your milk came from old Bessie out in the barn. Made your own cheese, made your own butter. A lot of people remember those things. Maybe when another room was needed on the house, your dad, who was not a carpenter by trade, found out some way to build that room and make it match the rest of the house. Maybe your dad did not provide you a lot of the toys enjoyed by the other kids, but he was home every night and he treated your mother right. If you can relate to that, you know that your house might not have been the biggest and the best in the neighborhood, but you fondly remember it as home. Your pantry wasn't filled with cans from the local supermarket, but with jars of food that your mother provided. You might have had to work hard on the farm to help your dad, your father, to keep everything going, to keep everyone fed. But you'll never forget the smells of fresh hay in the barn, cotton after it was just picked, or that meal on the dining room table. If you remember such a childhood, you ask yourself the question, did my dad provide? And the answer is going to be yes. Might not have had everything that everybody had, but there was nothing I really needed that I didn't. The story is told about a man by the name of R.C. Myers who came from Kentucky. He married a Kansas girl and settled down in Indian Territory, which later became Oklahoma. They had 16 children. His grandson said, and I quote, "It never occurred to my grandfather that the government should take care of his family. That was his responsibility. He was a law officer before statehood, but became a sharecropper to feed his family. Their poverty did not discourage him from the personal pride of caring for his own." Listen to that, to the personal pride of caring for his own. He did what it took to take care of his family, to make sure they were fed. But his grandson went on to say, he raised his children without the benefit of electricity or running water. He died without ever having a driver's license. His children nevertheless grew up to be hardworking, patriotic, and devout. He concluded, "I am confident that in spite of his poverty, he did a better job of providing for his own than the government ever could." Thank God for fathers like that. The Bible says that fathers are responsible for caring for their own and for their family, as we read a moment ago. Let's thank them for their material provision. We need to thank them, number two, for their faithful instruction. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "Your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Fathers instruct their children about a lot of things. They talk to them about school and about work, about relationships, about dating, about driving a car, about all of these things. And some of these lessons could be added to the list of dadisms mentioned earlier, the things that dads said to correct us, like, "Get your elbows off the table and stop eating like an animal. Turn off the lights when you leave the room and close the door all the way. Do you think you're being raised in a barn? Wash your face, comb your hair, brush your teeth, and shine your shoes. Act like you are somebody." There have been a lot of men named Jim Burton. Some of them were not such great people. There was a Jim Burton who was a famous baseball player, and the irony of that will become evident in just a moment. He said, "When I was young, baseball was my life, so you can imagine the excitement I felt when my oldest son began playing. The game would be one of our bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great baseball player. Learning to read curveballs, shift his body weight with a swing, steal bases, turn double plays. These are the things that separate the amateurs from the pros." He went on to say, "A pattern developed in our relationship. Because of my familiarity with the game, I saw every mistake my son made, and in addition, I knew how to correct it." You know where this is going, don't you? He said, so post-game drives home became a critique of how to improve his game. Soon got old for my son. One night he finally said, "Dad, could you not start by telling me everything I did wrong? Tell me what I did right." The irony of this is that Jim Burton was a relief pitcher for the Boston Red Sox in 1975 and in 1977. And he is most famous for being the losing pitcher in Game 7 of the 1975 World Series. So maybe he could have looked in the mirror a little bit with some of that advice. But as the Bible says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." There is a way to teach. Faithful instruction is important, but we must be careful how we deliver it, because all criticism and no praise is not good. And not only that, we have to ask ourselves in regard to our children, are we a coach or are we a critic? Being a coach is good. Being a critic, not so much. But what about instruction as it relates to the Lord? Here's a sad confession of one father. He said, "I took my children to school, but not to worship. I taught them to drink, but not of the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not in Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not how to be a fisher of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. I taught them that the church was full of hypocrites, and I made an even greater one of both him and me. I gave them a cell phone, but not a Bible. I handed them the keys to the car, but I didn't give them the keys to the kingdom of God. I taught them how to make a living, but I failed to bring them to Christ, who alone can make a life. His life was riddled with regret because of what he did not do for his children. We can learn to do better as fathers and grandfathers. For the next generation and the ones that follow, we can avoid mistakes like this. We need to thank our fathers for the faithful instruction that they gave us in life and for all the good advice for material possessions and for the instruction that we find directed here in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Number three, and finally, we need to thank them for godly illustration. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was not saying here, do everything that I do, but do everything that I do that is Christ-like, because he was not perfect, and neither are we. We want our children to follow us when we do things that are right, when we give them a good example, when we are a good role model. But when we make mistakes, we don't want them following those. We want them to learn from our mistakes so that they won't make them, so that they can grow and be strong. One man had a habit of taking his son along actually all of his children, as he picked up shut-ins and he would take them to the worship assembly on the Lord's Day. But his son said it made a lasting impression on him. And one day, his father was in the hospital, and he was trying to recover from a massive heart attack. Someone brought word to his dad while the son was there that a family down the street didn't have enough money to buy groceries. And it was a legitimate need. So this man wrote them a check. It was the last thing that he ever wrote. And it made a lasting impression upon his son and upon the rest of the family. All we can say is, what a man that was. And what an example of Christ he was to his son. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. We need to thank our fathers while we can. Some of us can't do that anymore. But if you can, take the opportunity while you have the opportunity. And whether you can talk to them directly or not, thank God for what they did for you, for the example that they were. We need to thank them for material provision. We need to thank them for faithful instruction. And we need to thank them for the godly life that they live, the godly illustration that they were to us. What have we done about it? If they were a faithful Christian, have we followed in their footsteps? Acting by faith to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, knowing that Christ will add us to his church, Acts 2, 37 through 47. Have we confessed proudly the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before man, Romans 10, 9 and 10? No, sadly. Not everyone can say a lot of the things that we have said about fathers this morning. But I'll tell you this. If you are a young man or not so young a man, if you did not have that kind of guidance and influence in your life, you can break the cycle. You can stop that today. You can be the one who would begin leading his family to heaven. You can be the one that provides materially for your family and is going to be loyal to his family and take care of the children that you will bring or have brought into this world, regardless of what anyone else says or thinks. You can be the person that, if you do not know already, that learns the Word of God and can teach it to your children, and the person that can live it in front of your children and show them that you really believe what you say that you do. You can break that cycle. And you can start today. You can start right now as we honor our fathers. You will be that father one day that will be honored because you loved your family enough to lead them to Christ. If you haven't already done that, you need to. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?